Thank you, Ms. Berg. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 12, if you would, this morning. The book of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, the Bible is a book of detail. You know, the more you read the Bible, the more astounded you are to realize that God never forgets the smallest detail. I mean, when you look through the Scripture, He carefully describes events that took place, and nothing is in the Bible without a purpose. There's nothing in the Bible, an accident. There's nothing that just kind of slid in there. And throughout the Scripture, there's statements that are seemingly insignificant, and sometimes there's people that almost seem like they disappear. Throughout the New Testament, there are little statements about the mother of Jesus, most of which have nothing to do with the story. I was reading through several of those, making a comparison this week, and nothing to do with the context, or nothing to do with the miracle, or nothing to do with what Jesus would be teaching, and yet there's a statement about Mary. Statements like, "And the mother of Jesus was there." Or statements like, "Mary, the mother of Jesus was there." And as we'll see in this passage in a moment, it would seem like the Lord would want us to know that His mother was around. Can I just tell you that a mother or a father that's too busy to be around in their child's life is really no mother or father at all? Now, I do not pastor my mother, and I don't know if she's grateful for that or if I'm grateful for that. I'm not sure which is the case. But I know what it's like to be on the platform and to look down front and to see my wife seated there and to be able to know that she is in the crowd. This morning, she is in the nursery, and I tend to preach better when my wife is here supporting me. What that means is if the message is bad this morning, it's her fault. That's basically what that means. But I know what it's like to look out and to see that there are those in your corner. You know what I mean by that? There are those who are supporting you and cheering you on. And I often wonder if maybe the Lord knew a little bit about what that was like. When you open the Scripture, there's no doubt that in the Bible, Jesus is center stage. There's no doubt that in the Bible, the central figure is the Lord Jesus Christ. The spotlight of all the storyline is Jesus. But it's amazing that many times standing in the shadows was Mary. There was a phrase in this particular passage that we'll read this morning that struck me this week as I read it. And in many ways, it seems like Mary's just in the background, but she was there. I want to preach a message this morning entitled Standing in the Shadows. And if you're able to, let me invite you to stand. We'll be at the very end of Matthew chapter 12. We'll pick up in verse number 46. If you have the words of Christ in red, you'll see that the Lord has been speaking. And then there's a pause and there's an interruption. And then the Lord speaks again as He closes the chapter. But Matthew chapter 12, verse number 46. While He yet talked to the people, behold, His mother and His brethren stood without, desiring to speak with Him. Then one said unto Him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But He answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He stretched forth His hand toward His disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Lord, thank You for the privilege to be able to have the Word of God, and we're thankful for the lessons that are found in the Scripture. And Lord, I pray that for a moment today, You'd help us to be alert and to pay special attention to the applications that are found in this passage. Lord, may it not just be for a mother or for a young lady, but help all of us to have an open heart to how You would grow us today. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. If you know anything about John chapter 12, there's an awful lot of context that needs to be gathered. Jesus has performed a miracle earlier that has set the stage for this discussion with the disciples and with the Pharisees. He has cast out a devil, and there have been many who were concerned about that. Jesus preached in chapter 12 about what is the unpardonable sin, or that unforgivable sin Then he disputes with the Pharisees, and there's been some debate with them about who Jesus is and can he do such miracles and things. And by the time we reach the end of the chapter that we read a moment ago, the Bible says that the mother of Jesus stood without. Seems like in those two verses, verse 46 and verse 47, as the phrase is reiterated the two times, it seems like there's an emphasis to remind us and let us know that standing in the shadows and in the background, there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, along the way, supporting him and undergirding him as any mother would or should do. If you were to take the time and you go all the way back to the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, we read about that in John chapter 2. Before Jesus performed his first miracle, before he ever opened a blind eye, he hadn't made the lame to walk yet, he hadn't made the deaf to hear yet, he hadn't raised anybody from the dead yet. Before any of that had happened, and the spotlight of eternity would turn on to the Lord Jesus Christ, where all would see and know in the surrounding communities who he is. In John chapter 2, before any of that happens, before the first miracle where Jesus will turn the water into wine, you know what the Bible says in the first verse? In the first couple verses, actually? Before the miracle ever happens, the Scripture says, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. You say, well, preacher, that's just accident, or that's just, you know, along with the context. No, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible's a book of detail on purpose. And it's important that we would understand who is present and who is there. And the light was on Jesus Christ in John chapter 12. He has cast out a demon, and yet the Bible says that his mother stood without. The light would be on Jesus in chapter 2 when he would turn the water into wine, and yet Mary was there. You know, if you go to John chapter 19, verse number 25, you'll read about Jesus who is on the cross. And there he is dying for the sins of all mankind. In fact, if you picture it, the nails are in his hands and the nail is in his feet and his body is bloodied and scarred and he is bleeding and all of heaven is looking down and the crowds who are standing around the base of the cross, they're staring up and some mocked him and some ridiculed him and said, if he was the king of the Jews, let him save himself. But there were some who stood there by who believed in him, who knew he was the Messiah. And I just wonder if all of the angels had their ear bent toward the earth to see what is it that Jesus will say in this dying moment. You know what happened in John chapter 19, verse 25? He looked down at John. He said, John, take care of Mama. She was there all through Jesus' life, perhaps standing in the shadows, perhaps in the background, but she was there. You go to Acts chapter 1, verse number 14, and you'll find there's a prayer meeting in the upper room, and Mary was there. While Jesus was on the earth, there weren't times where he could always give the attention to his family like perhaps maybe he would have chosen to do, because the Bible tells us that the crowds thronged him, and they were always there. But yet, there is Mary who is in the background, sometimes silent, sometimes steadfast, sometimes just there to support or maybe to undergird or to be an encouragement or for no other reason to let Jesus know, I believe in you and I trust in you and I'm behind you. That unseen, steadfast servant, his mother was there. And I say to you ladies this morning, that's a wonderful picture of oftentimes what a mother is. Here's this lady of Nazareth, this poor girl who, when she shows up at Bethlehem, there's no room for her to deliver her baby, so she has to go to a stable. And the Bible tells us that Mary never really said much about that. In fact, the Scripture says that she just pondered these things in her heart. You know, that's the way all great mothers are. That's the way all great mothers are in the making of godly children and godly young ladies and godly young men. Some of the most miserable people that you ever meet in your life is this crowd of people that wants to be liberated. But here's Mary who's just in the shadows. Some of the happiest people are those who watch as their son or their daughter or their husband serves God. Stop to think about it. There are many great men that had worthless fathers. But But you don't find many great men with bad mothers. Now, I'm sure that exists, but we just don't know about it. And we could call the names of those that had family problems, but many are those who, somewhere in the shadows, there was a godly mother, there was an individual who was undergirding them and supporting them. There was a lady who was just silently living for God and doing her task as the Scripture called on her to do. In fact, all through the Bible, that's the picture. Moses was the greatest leader that Israel ever had. And yet Moses, behind Moses was the sweet mother who daubed the ark with pitch and placed Moses in the Nile River. And God used him to do great things. John the Baptist preached the way clear for the Son of God himself. And in the shadows of John the Baptist was his mother Elizabeth. You know that when the rich man came, the wise men came to visit Jesus, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know the Bible never tells us any of those were for Mary. They were for Jesus. But Mary was there, and Mary was a part of that. Certainly, when Simeon came and saw the baby Jesus, he picked him up in his arms, and Mary was there. When the prophetess Anna fell and worshipped Jesus, Mary stood silently by. When Jesus questioned the teachers and the lawyers and the doctors in the temple, Mary was there in the background and in the shadows. When on the cross of Calvary, Jesus hung there, all eyes were on him, but Mary was there too. I wonder what it was about this particular lady that would cause us to learn some things about our own Christian life. By the way, whether you're a mother, whether you're a lady, whether you're a man in here, there are certainly characteristics that all of us can glean. The Bible places a great emphasis on godly mothers and the tremendous contribution that they render to the home and the life of a nation. Now, let me say this from the onslaught before I give you any part of the message. We do not believe in an immaculate conception. We do not believe in deifying Mary, that somehow she attained sinless perfection and that she is to be raised to a place of deity and the Holy of Holies. No, we don't believe that at all. But I do believe the Bible teaches that studying some things about her life will help us see some great character traits about living for God. Can I just list three for you this morning? Here's three simple elements that I think we find in Mary's life that certainly all of us could emulate. Number one, there was a sacred dedication. Take your Bible and turn back to Luke chapter 1, if you would. The book of Luke chapter 1. Rather, turn forward to Luke chapter 1. And notice verse number 28, if you would. Luke chapter 1. Verse number 28. The Bible says, I'll begin reading in verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, verse 28, and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now watch. I know we know this story because we often read it at Christmas time, and we learn much about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus at that time. But ladies and gentlemen, when the Heavenly Father sought for a woman with suitable dedication which could bear His Son into this world, God found that in a Jewish maiden called Mary. He found that in this lady. And it was not that God chose Mary that made her outstanding. Rather, it was the fact that she had a life dedicated to righteousness, and that prompted the choice. The Bible says that God saw her, and He observed her, and that she was favored because of the life of dedication that she lived, because of her desire to be holy and godly. And can I say to you today, all how the world needs dedicated mothers who will live for God and rear their children to please God. We've got enough who are going astray and don't care about the things of God or the things of eternity. But God give us mothers who would dedicate their lives to holy living. The Bible says that Mary was highly favored. She had character. In fact, the kind of character that heaven noticed. The kind of character that caught the attention of heaven. Character comes as you live according to the principles of the Spirit rather than the flesh. And you know, boys and girls need God-fearing parents that possess real character. Need parents who will steer them right. Today, moral values are being played down. We are watching a culture of young people that are being taught to protest. They're being taught to rebel. They're being taught that if they don't like the outcome, even if the outcome's right, to rise up against it. They're being taught to liberate. They're being taught to challenge. They're being taught to stand against. And I'm all for thinking for yourself, and I'm all for all of those kind of things. But ladies and gentlemen, there is still a right and a wrong. There is still an authority structure found in the Word of God. And we are raising a group of people that says, it doesn't matter what the police say, doesn't matter what the president says, doesn't matter what local community authorities say, you rise up against them. But the only way we'll change that is through homes in our lives who will teach differently. It comes from moms and dads. You realize that without the example of Christian character in your home, a child could be morally and spiritually handicapped for a lifetime. Sometimes we come across young people, whether it's here in the ministry or outside somewhere, who have parents that don't care anything about church or God or spirituality. And you know, their moral compass is so much different. What has been inbred into them is right and wrong, and what they allow and what they approve of. It's different than the Bible may tell. And here's Mary, who from the very get-go, before Jesus is even brought into the world, the heavenlies said, now there's a lady who's going to rear her son to do right. In fact, who's going to rear my son to do right. The simplicity of the statement in Luke that the virgin's name was Mary tells us a great deal about her personal life. And I don't suppose there's anything I can't tell you about that, but the Bible, that you don't already know, but the Bible indicates that she was very consecrated and pure even during her teen year. In the 1950s, there was a survey done of high school girls about the very subject of purity. Somehow, they managed to, with 90-plus percent of that group, resurvey the same group 5 years later. You know what they found of that group? Over 70% of those young ladies did not keep themselves pure until marriage. That was in the 50s. That was 70 years ago. Far too many young ladies are trying to emulate the standards of Hollywood rather than a pattern of biblical living. I can tell you this, I feel confident that if Mary were alive today, she wouldn't be found hashtagging and posting and reiterating the fads of worldliness. It wouldn't be who Mary was, because Mary was favored above and among women. Mary was dedicated to protecting her body and presenting her body as a living sacrifice. After all, that was just her reasonable service. And you're talking about a lady who had a sacred dedication. By the way, do you know that that wasn't easy for Mary? It wasn't easy to explain that, oh, I'm with child, but I've never been with a man. It wouldn't be easy to all of a sudden begin to show and all of a sudden begin to have all the signs of pregnancy and being with child and yet still stand by the fact that I've never lain with a man. It'd take courage to stay dedicated to that. But God give us some ladies and God give us some men today who would have some courage and some backbone to live dedicated for the Lord regardless of what the culture does. Number one, there was a sacred dedication. Number two, there's a scriptural demonstration. Now look over to Luke chapter 2, would you? In Luke chapter 2, notice what the Bible says in verse number 39. Now watch these words. And when they had performed, what's that next word? All. When they performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. The The very roots of a godly life must have their beginning in God's Word. Do you know it's impossible to be saved apart from the Word of God? It is impossible to live a good Christian life apart from the Word of God. In Luke chapter 2, we discover that Mary and Joseph were faithful to obey all things, what the Bible says. When they had obeyed or performed all the commandments of the Lord, they had done not just some of them, not just what was comfortable, not just what was easy for them in their political structure and the culture in which they lived, but they had performed all. Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not written for our recommendation, but it's written for our obedience. It's not written just as something that maybe we might take part of it and not take all of it, but it's written for all who are saved to partake in all. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Nothing else brings God's blessing into our lives like faithfulness to the Word of God. You see, it's not just enough to know the Lord and acknowledge that you're expected to do right. I mean, that's what Christians are expected to do right. It's not enough to just acknowledge that, but it's essential that our faith take action. So the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that they had performed all things. The mother of Jesus was not content to just say, well, you know, Joseph, we probably should go to Jerusalem because that's what we should do. No, they went. You know, it's not good enough for you to just send your children to church because that's what they should do while you stay home. It's not good enough for you to just say, well, we probably should read the Bible. You ought to do it. I mean, the list goes on of how they put into practice. In fact, in verse number 41 of the same chapter, the Bible says they did it every year. They were faithful year in and year out and week in and week out. They demonstrated their faith by doing what the Word of God asked them to do. That's Christian living. That's a demonstration of the Word of God becoming a part of your life and you living out the attributes found in the Scripture. You know that the attitude of a Christian mother is often reflected in the attitude of her children. Someone said to me just yesterday that at a setting that we were at in the church setting, they said there is a good spirit. And I'm always grateful when people say that. But then they said, I can tell where that spirit comes from. And you know, the same thing's true with your children. The attitude that you have in your home, ma'am, towards your husband, toward your church, toward God, toward spiritual things, whether you try to hide it, cover it up, it'll show up in your children. And I'm glad that Jesus had a mother who demonstrated her faith and backed it up. You know what that means? You better watch what you say. You better watch what you do. You better be careful where you go. Because especially if you're still raising children in your home, they see and they know. And by the way, you can tell them all the time, don't repeat that. Good luck with that. Let me know how that works out for you. We have a saying in our home that we often laugh about, and it's become almost sarcastic, where we make the statement that says, now you boys don't need to repeat that. And it's not necessarily certainly about sinful things. Sometimes it may be sarcastic or maybe humorous or whatever the case may be. And then we find ourselves saying, you boys don't need to repeat that. You know what I found? Most of the time when I tell them that, they're sure to repeat it. Sometimes I wonder if I'd be better just to never say it. Because your attitude and who you are shows up in your children. You know, that's scary. Because that often means that the flaws and the struggles that we have, they begin to surface in those that we pour our life into. With Mary, you find that she was dedicated to spiritual things. You know, if you're cold and indifferent in spiritual matters, it's going to show up in your children. By the way, you may say, well, preacher, I'm in my 70s and none of that matters now. You know, if you were cold and indifferent when you were in your mid-30s and your 40s when your children were in your home, I have a sneaking suspicion it probably has shown up in your children when they're 30 and 40. It's amazing to me how that we can pack a house for parties and studies and shopping bashes, but we can't pack a pew for revival. Oh, we can get our friends and our groups together, but often not for spiritual things. The Christian mother would show some real, godly, holy enthusiasm for the cause of Christ. Learn from the demonstration of Mary. This is a tremendous opportunity. If you have young children in your home, what a great opportunity is available to you that your children would hear the gospel from your own lips. It's wonderful to bring your children to Sunday school and for them to hear those things. It's wonderful for them to come and them to hear the preaching of the Word of God. But what a wonderful opportunity that your children from your very own lips would trust Jesus Christ. What an opportunity you have to impact souls and young people for the cause of Christ. Oh, that every child would hear the plan of salvation from the lips of their dear sweet mother. Can I ask you a question? How many of you were led to the Lord by a lady? Several. Several in this room. Now, maybe it was your mother, maybe it was another lady or whatever the case may be. God give us that influence of making a difference in the lives of people. A while back, I was speaking to a lady who professed that she was a churchgoer and a Christian, and she told me she had four children, and I inquired in particular about the two teenagers that she had in her home, and I asked her if they were saved. And she made this statement. She said, well, she kind of smiled, it'd be nice if my kids got some saved somewhere along the way. I thought, man, how sad that a mother who professes to be saved didn't seem, almost smirked at the idea, didn't seem to be bothered that her children are on their way to hell. Didn't seem to bother them. I wonder how many mothers in this room it bothers you. Are every one of your children saved? Every one of your grandchildren born again? Say, well, preacher, they're still young. They're in church. They're still young. Great. What a great season for you to be praying about that. Mary demonstrated it in her life. What a great picture. Maybe the case is that in 2021, we have moms and dads who are merely pretending to be spiritual rather than demonstrating that they are spiritual. Number one, there's a sacred dedication. Number two, a scriptural demonstration. And then number three, a spiritual determination. Now, if you're still in Luke chapter 2, look down at verse number 48, would you? The Bible says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowfully. Now, if you remember the story, you know the context. Jesus is but a child. He's in the temple, and the caravan of people has left, and they are headed back home. And along the way, they realize, we forgot one of the children. You know what that's like? And please don't raise your hand. When I was a youth pastor, I was just getting started in youth ministry, and we had a huge scavenger hunt at this big three-story mall. It's an all an indoor mall, not like you have in the South, but in the North they're all typically inside. And there's this three-story mall. And I was young. I don't know if I had any helpers. I wish I could remember that because I'd like to blame them, but I don't know if I had any helpers. And we had finished our scavenger hunt, and we met at a central location, and then we all got back on the bus, and we just had one bus, and we were driving back to the church, and we had been gone at least 10 minutes or so, and in the back of the bus, a high school girl stood up, and she screamed at the top of her lungs. Now, I was not driving the bus. I turned around, and I looked at her, and she said, where's my brother? And all of a sudden, I just got flushed. And I thought, well, surely the kid, I mean, he was a junior hire. Surely he's under the seat somewhere. And surely somebody's pulling a prank. And sure enough, we left him. Now, that's a bad deal. But 2 weeks later, we went to a baseball game. Same youth group, same youth pastor. We loaded up on the bus, and we left him again. I don't know what to tell you about that. There's a reason I'm not still a youth pastor, I guess. When you leave children behind, it's not real profitable for ministry. But that's what happened in this passage of Scripture. Jesus was behind, and Mary and Joseph discover that, and they come back. And this is the confrontation, if you will, where Mary approaches Jesus. And the tone of this, with strong determination to stand her ground, is very helpful. It is interesting that Mary is here in this place, and she sought to impress on the mind of Jesus her concern for his welfare. In other words, we would say it this way: I am still your mother. That's how we would interpret it. Now, I don't think Mary was disrespectful. I don't think in any way she was undermining the deity of Christ. But with great reverence, she was toward the Son of God, showing him, look, it is my duty to make sure that you do right and you turn out right. And fathers and mothers, can I just say to you today that that very thing ought to be underscored in the hearts and in the homes of young people and in your home today. At the end of the day, your kids may challenge you and they may question you and they may pull your hair out at times, but you are still their parent, and God puts you there for a reason, that you would guide them and steer them right. And there was some determination and backbone about Mary. Your father and I have sought you everywhere. Look, don't you leave your children to themselves just so you can make money. The Bible still speaks about caring for the home. And if you're gone so much that you can't care for your husband or your children, then you're gone too much. And there was something about Mary where she was determined that this is right. You know that takes spiritual determination. You know how I know? Because husbands aren't always easy to love. And you didn't have to say amen so loud, ladies. Sometimes children aren't always easy to love. It takes spiritual determination that you would be spirit-filled and that you would do what you are asked to do from the Word of God, not because of who you are or not because of a position, because that's what leads young people to live right. There was something about Mary, I'm sure, that some of the earliest memories that Jesus had of his own mother was the stand that she was willing to take. And we find her oftentimes with a great spirit when she did it. You know, one of the most convicting things about Luke chapter 2, verse number 48, is Mary has a great spirit. Despite fear, despite the culture, despite all the demands that a young mother would have, she still had a great spirit. If you find your service to the Savior grievous and becoming burdensome and bitter, listen to what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat him loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we are the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. We make jokes sometimes about the marriage relationship. We make jokes about the husband-wife relationship. In fact, I had a whole list of mother-in-law jokes this morning, and I thought, well, I can't tell any of those. We make jokes about raising children, not raising children. And I get all of the sarcasm with that, but the truth of the matter is, God has entrusted you with a role. By the way, when your children leave your home, I'm learning this even so much. When your children leave your home, your role as parent ain't done yet. In fact, it's only just beginning in many ways. And it's not always easy to have a spirit of delight. Not always easy to have the right spirit. But any mother who is delighted with the Lord Jesus Christ, she won't have difficulty conveying that to her family. In fact, Mary was entrusted with the care of the world's Redeemer. It's got to tell us something about who she is. You know, there's one thing, finally, that I would mention to you about Mary. If the dear mother of the precious Savior had to trust his cleansing blood of her own son, don't you think, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I would need to have faith in Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross so that we could be saved as well? Whatever doctrine teaches you that Mary was exempt from that and that Mary attained deity and perfection, it's false. For at the foot of the cross, the mother of Mary stood there in the shadows, believing in the Son of God. May we learn and be challenged in these things. Because the joy of a parent that raises a child to go on for society and for Christ, that's what the Bible speaks of. It's the joy of the hoary head. It's the fruit of those silver years. Now, those of you that are already in those silver years, you understand that there ain't enough silver in them a lot of times. And they ain't always as joyful as what you wish they were. But there's nothing more joyful than reaping the fruit of your labor. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to study the Scripture and learn in our own lives. And Lord, I pray that just for a moment you'd take a simple truth about a simple individual and help us, Lord, to be challenged in our own Christian life. I pray that you would allow us, whether a man, whether a boy, whether a teenager, whether an adult, whether a mother, you would allow our Christian life to be challenged and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name.